All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something I think is pretty cool. We're talking graph databases.
Graph databases, yeah.
So, you know, we always deal with data and, yeah. You know, you've got your classic, you know, tables and rows and columns and, you know, your key value stores. Mm-hmm. But what about when the connections between the data are even more important
Absolutely.
In the data itself?
Yeah, that's where graph databases really come into play. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I think this is going to be a really interesting deep dive. We're going to give you a very clear understanding of what graph databases are all about, how they work, why they're important, you know, the advantages they provide, places where they really shine compared to other databases, and also the situations where they're not a good fit. So you'll have a much better grasp of this increasingly important approach to data management when we're done.
Yeah, and this is a topic that, you know, like you said, it's becoming more and more important. And so I think we can all benefit from having a deeper understanding of this. So let's start with, you know, the basics. When we talk about graph databases, What are we talking about? Like, what are the fundamental units or, you know, building blocks of a graph database?
Well, the foundation of a graph database consists of nodes, edges, and properties.
Okay.
So you can think of nodes as like the entities, the nouns in your data world.
Okay.
This could be customers, products, locations, events, really anything.
Got it.
Then you have edges, which represent the relationships between the nodes.
Okay.
So the verbs, right?
Yeah.
So for instance, you might have a node for a product, product A, another node for customer B, and an edge label purchase linking them.
Oh, okay. So like if you were to visualize it, it'd be like you got these points and then the line connecting them.
Yeah, like a mind map or the social network.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, visual. Okay. Yeah, and both the nodes and edges can have properties. And these are just basically key value pairs that give you more details about the entity or the relationship.
Yeah.
So for the product, a node, you might have properties like name, awesome gadget, price, 29.99.
Right.
And then for the purchased edge, you could have a property like date 2025, whatever.
Okay, so, you know, the way I kind of think about it is that, you know, traditional databases, they store the data points, right? And then you have to infer the connections, whereas this is like storing the connections as a first-class citizen.
You got it.
Hmm.
That's a great way to put it. Relationships are treated as first-class data.
Yeah.
So in a traditional database, you often have to infer those relationships using foreign keys, and you piece them together with joins.
Right.
But with graph databases, those connections are explicitly stored as edges.
Right.
And this leads to a really interesting concept called index-free adjacency. So each node basically maintains pointers to its directly connected neighbors.
Wait, so index-free adjacency.
Yeah.
So if there's no indexes, how does it, how does it know who's connected to whom?
Great question. So instead of relying on an index to find related data, each node inherently knows its neighbors because the connection is stored as a direct pointer.
Okay.
So when you want to traverse a relationship, the database just follows these pointers.
Great.
And this is really the secret sauce that allows graph databases to kind of navigate these relationships without the performance penalties that you often see with joins.
So it's
makes a fundamental shift.
It's not having to go look it up.
No.
It just knows.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like in the example you gave before, if I wanted to find all the customers who purchased product A.
Yes.
It's not like scanning through a table and matching IDs.
Exactly.
Like, oh, this edge goes right to that customer.
That's a great way to put it. You just follow the purchased edges connected to the product A node. You got it.
Okay.
And this direct storage of connections is really where the power comes in for navigating these complex relationships.
Yeah. And, you know, I think where this becomes really apparent is when you start talking about, you know, these multi-hop traversals.
Yes.
So like in our example, like let's say I wanted to find all the customers who bought product A.
Right.
But also bought product C.
Right.
That's two hops away.
Exactly.
So in a graph database, it's just as you described. You go to product A.
Yes.
You go to the customers and you see who also bought product C.
Right.
And you're done.
That's it. Yeah.
Whereas in a relational database, you have to do...
You have to do joins upon joins.
Yeah, like a self-join on this purchase table or whatever.
Exactly.
It can get really complicated.
Very quickly. Yeah.
And so how do you actually ask these questions to a graph database? Are there special languages involved?
Yeah, there are actually. And these languages are designed to really embrace the graph structure. They're optimized for expressing these patterns of relationship.
Okay.
And some of the popular ones that you'll come across are Cypher, which is used by Neo4j. It's got kind of a declarative pattern matching syntax.
Okay.
So you kind of describe the pattern and the database finds it.
Yeah.
Then you have Gremlin.
Okay.
Which is part of the Apache TinkerPop framework, and it's got a more programmatic traversal-based approach.
All right.
You're kind of giving it instructions on how to walk the graph. And then for those who work with RDF data models, there's SpyRQQL.
Okay, so very specialized languages. Could you give me like a quick example of like how these might help with like, you know, the queries?
Yeah, so let's go back to that friends of friends example.
Okay.
Say we have people and we have a friends with relationship.
Okay.
Using Cypher, you could write a query like this match. P1, friends with FOF, where P1.name equals Alice return FOF. So that would return all the friends of friends of Alice.
And so that seems like a pretty natural way to express that.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of these languages. They're designed to work with the way that the data is structured as a graph.
So fundamentally, it sounds like, you know, these graph databases emphasize the relationships to make it easy and efficient to query them.
Yeah.
And you have these specialized languages that really understand these network structures.
Exactly. You're shifting from a table-centric view to a relationship-centric view.
Yeah.
Right from the start.
Okay. So let's get into a little bit about how this compares to some of the other models that I know we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
So let's start with the workhorse. The relational database.
Okay.
SQL.
Yep.
How do graph databases compare to this in terms of, you know, their fundamental approach?
Well, this is a key comparison to understand the value of graph databases. So relational databases, you know, organize data into tables.
Right.
You've got a fixed schema.
Yeah.
Relationships are implied through foreign keys.
Right.
And you have to rely on joins to find the connections between them.
Yeah.
Now, for simple one-hop relationships, like, you know, finding all the orders placed by a specific customer relational databases are great.
Yeah, they're fine for that.
They're super efficient at that.
Yeah.
But the performance really drops off when you start increasing the depth of those relationships.
Yeah. Like I was saying before, you get into like, you know.
That's right.
The nest itself joins.
Nest itself joins. It gets really messy and it can be a real performance bottleneck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also hard to write.
Yeah. It's hard to write. It's hard to maintain.
Maintain those.
Yeah.
So.
In contrast, a graph database stores the connection directly as an edge.
Right.
So finding those friends of friends is just traversing two edges.
Right.
You know, very straightforward.
Yeah.
And the database leverages graph theory operations under the hood to do this very efficiently.
Yep.
Another key difference is flexibility. Relational databases have a very rigid schema that you define up front.
Right.
And so if you need to add a new type of relationship or a new property, often you're altering that schema,
right,
which can be time-consuming, can cause downtime, it can be a real pain.
Migrations, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, migrations, yeah. Graph databases, on the other hand,
they're
often schemaless or schema optional.
Okay.
So you can just introduce new node labels or edge types and properties without redefining the entire structure.
That's really interesting, and I think that's a really big point.
It is.
Especially as, you know, things change rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, in today's world.
You got it. Like, imagine all of a sudden you need to track a new type of interaction between your entities.
Right.
Say, a recommended to relationship between users.
Right.
In a graph database, you can just start adding those edges and querying them right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
Start using them.
Whereas with a relational database, you might be adding new tables or linked tables and then figuring out how to populate them and query them with joins and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It can be a real headache. And then even the query languages reflect this fundamental difference.
Right.
So SQL is all about tables and joining tables, whereas graph query languages like Cypher are all about these connections and traversing paths through the data.
Yeah.
So asking about paths is a core operation in Cypher, whereas in SQL, it might require these complex, recursive, common table expressions, so much more difficult. And then finally, in terms of performance, while relational databases are highly optimized for many types of queries, their performance on complex relationship queries really degrades as those joins increase.
Right.
Graph databases, on the other hand, because of that and index-free adjacency that we talked about, can maintain consistent performance even as the graph grows.
Yeah.
And those relationships get deeper.
So I guess to summarize, you know, relational databases are great for the well-structured.
Right.
You know, you've got your ASIP properties.
Yes.
Strong consistency.
Yes.
Graph databases are good when you have...
when you have a lot of connections.
Yeah.
And you're really interested in exploring those relationships.
And those relationships are important. Okay.
Exactly.
So how about document databases?
Okay.
So things like MongoDB. How do they compare?
Right. Well, document databases, they store data in self-contained documents, often JSON format.
Right.
They're excellent for semi-structured or hierarchical data.
Yeah.
And they also offer good schema flexibility.
Okay.
But when it comes to representing and querying relationships between those documents,
right,
they have a different approach. So
right.
Typically, they handle relationships either by embedding related data within a document,
okay,
or storing references,
okay,
IDs to other documents.
Okay.
So if you wanted to find those multi-hop relationships, like our social media friends example, you would have to perform multiple queries,
okay,
from your application code.
So it's like, okay, get the user document, get the list of friend ID,
exactly,
and go get those friends, and it's a lot of back and forth.
Exactly, a lot of round trips,
yeah,
to the database.
Okay.
Yeah, they lack those native join operations of relational databases, and certainly the edge representation that, yeah, you get in graph databases.
So again, you can do it.
Yeah.
But it's not
as efficient or as elegant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So if your core requirement is to efficiently traverse and query these relationships,
right,
a graph database is a much better fit,
okay,
than a document database.
So document database is good for when your data is largely self-contained,
right,
within the document.
Yes.
Okay.
Good rule of thumb. If you can effectively denormalize your data,
yeah,
within those documents,
yeah,
without too much redundancy or complexity, go with a document database.
Okay.
If you've got lots of connections spanning different records,
right,
graph database.
Okay.
And while there are some newer multi-model databases that are trying to bridge this gap,
right,
the pure document stores don't have that same level of relationship handling,
right,
as you find in a true graph database.
Okay, so let's talk about another one of the NoSQL databases.
Sure.
Key value stores.
Okay.
So things like Redis.
Right.
Where do they fit into this whole world?
Yeah. Well, key value stores are all about speed and simplicity.
Okay.
They store data, as you guessed it, key value pairs.
Yep.
And they're incredibly fast for lookups if you know the key.
Right.
Things like caching, session management, storing simple configuration.
Right.
Perfect for that.
So very specific use cases.
Right. But here's the thing. They have no built-in concept of relationships,
okay,
between different key value pairs.
Okay.
So if you wanted to model a graph using a key value store,
right,
you'd have to manually implement that.
Okay.
And manage all those connections within your application code.
Okay.
So you might have a key for Alice and the value is a list of her friends.
Okay.
But to do anything with that,
right,
you've got to write all the code yourself.
All the traversal, friends of friends.
Yeah.
All that stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Lots of round trips to the database. Very inefficient,
yeah,
for those kind of queries. So if your primary data access pattern is, give me the value for this key,
right,
a graph database would be overkill.
Right.
Don't use it for that.
Okay.
Key value stores are all about sacrificing those rich querying capabilities for speed and scalability.
So they're good for that simple flat.
Exactly. Simple flat data access, graph database, when you want to explore the connections between the data.
Oh, yeah.
Now, interestingly, a lot of times people will use a fast key value cache,
right,
like a Redis, in front of a graph database.
Got it.
So you can speed up the lookups of nodes by ID.
Okay. So kind of like,
yeah,
best of both worlds in certain cases.
Exactly. Combining the strengths.
Yeah.
Still. Yeah. So last one,
okay,
let's talk about columnar databases.
Okay.
So these are the things that we use for big data analytics a lot of times, customer, right, age base, these types of things.
Exactly. So columnar databases organize data into rows with dynamic columns, mm-hmm, and they're grouped into these column families.
Right.
Engineered for massive scalability and high throughput.
Yeah.
Right. Heavy workloads, analytical queries over these large data sets.
Right.
They excel when you're querying based on a primary key.
Okay.
Or a defined set of secondary indexes. But similar to key value stores.
Right.
They don't have those join capabilities.
Right.
To easily traverse different entities.
Okay.
So if you need to do multi-hop queries or analyze relationships that span different types of data,
yeah,
you have to denormalize or do multiple queries and piece it all together in the application.
So same problem.
Same problem, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. If you tried to model a social network in Cassandra,
you might store a list of friend IDs within each user's row.
Okay.
So getting your direct friends is fast,
yeah.
But finding friends of friends
right.
means fetching multiple rows and doing it all in the application.
Got it.
Like key value stores.
Yeah.
So columnar databases are optimized for tons of data with straightforward access patterns.
Okay.
Analytics data ingestion.
Right.
Not complex relationships.
Right.
Now they offer schema flexibility.
Oh.
You can add new columns.
Yeah.
But you have to model it up front.
Got
to
it.
Really optimize the queries.
Okay.
Whereas graph databases, more flexible, designed for those complex interconnections.
Right.
It's not uncommon to see data go from a graph database to a columnar database.
Okay.
For like large scale processing.
Okay.
Because each is optimized for a different type of workload.
Right.
Graph database, OLTP, focused on relationships.
Yeah.
Columnar databases, OLAP, large data sets.
So it sounds like we've got, you know, these graph databases,
yeah.
And they fit into this ecosystem.
Yeah.
And they've got some pretty unique capabilities.
They do. They really do.
So let's talk about where these things really shine. Like, where are these things absolutely the right choice?
So graph databases excel when you're working with data that is naturally connected.
Okay.
Where the relationships are just as important,
right,
if not more important,
yeah.
than the data points themselves.
Yeah.
Social networks, classic example.
Yeah, perfect example.
People, their relationships, friendships, follows likes, all map directly.
The two nodes and edges.
Yeah, nodes and edges. Queries like, you know, finding degrees of separation between users,
right.
Or suggesting people you may know become super easy,
yeah.
With graph traversals.
Because you're just following the...
Following the connections,
yeah.
Like you said.
And in a relational database, that's really hard.
It's so computationally expensive and complex.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good analogy, like thinking about how a rumor spreads through a community.
Perfect analogy. Yeah, you can just see how it goes from person to person to person.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
easy to trace.
Like Facebook.
Yes.
You know, when they first, you know,
their whole social graph
came up with this idea. It was like,
yeah.
Oh, this is a graph.
This is a graph. Yeah.
And what's another area where this,
like,
you know, this focus on connections,
yeah.
is a big benefit?
Another great one is fraud detection and security.
Okay.
So fraudulent activities often involve these complex networks of entities,
right.
And these patterns that are hard to see,
right.
When you're just looking at individual pieces.
Yeah, like a stolen credit card being used at multiple locations.
Exactly,
yeah.
Or multiple credit cards linked to the same address.
Right, right.
So by modeling these entities, credit cards, transactions, merchants, IP addresses, users' accounts,
right.
As a graph, you can find those hidden connections,
yeah,
and those patterns. So a lot of banks and financial institutions are using graph databases now to detect fraud in real time.
Wow.
Because they can see how a particular transaction connects to all these other things,
right.
And identify those suspicious links.
And that would be super hard.
Very difficult in a relational database.
To do in a relational database, yeah.
Lots of complex queries. And there are also graph algorithms like,
right.
Cycle detection or finding these central nodes in a network that can be used to uncover fraud rings.
Oh, okay.
It's like that in your detective with the cork board.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the string.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you can really see the connections between, yeah. Those pieces of evidence.
Okay, so that's fraud. What, yeah. About recommendations? You know, we all see those on...
Yes. Recommendation engines are another great example.
Yeah.
So a lot of recommendation systems rely on finding those connections between users and items.
Okay.
Through these intermediate relationships. So for example, right. Users who bought X also bought Y. That's just a two-hop traversal,
okay.
In a graph.
Okay.
So graph databases can perform these traversals super quickly. So you can make real-time contextual recommendations.
So like while someone is browsing.
Exactly, while they're browsing.
Yeah.
So imagine an e-commerce site that's recommending products based not only on your past purchases,
yeah.
But what users with similar purchase histories and similar browsing behavior have bought recently.
Right.
Very difficult to do in a relational database.
Yeah.
But a graph database can handle that.
Okay.
And Neo4j is a good example. They power the real-time recommendation engines for,
yeah.
A lot of companies.
Okay.
It's much more dynamic and personalized than pre-computing those recommendations,
yeah.
In a relational system.
Okay. So again, it's like you're using the whole network to come up with...
Yeah, you're using that entire network.
Recommendations.
That whole web of relationships. to make those recommendations.
So what about knowledge graphs?
Knowledge graphs. Okay, so knowledge graphs are essentially networks of facts and entities.
Okay.
With these semantic relationships defined between them.
Okay.
Graph databases are really the perfect storage mechanism for knowledge graphs. Because you can integrate and link information from all these different silos.
Right.
So in a large enterprise, you might have customer data in one system, product information in another, support tickets in a third, and a knowledge graph can bring those together using a graph database.
Yeah.
Google's knowledge graph, that's a prime example.
Yeah.
It's enhancing search results by understanding the relationships between things in the world.
Yeah.
It's massive. And graph databases allow you to flexibly add these new entities and relationships, and you can do these queries that traverse multiple relationship types.
Yep.
So it makes it easier to discover those hidden insights.
Yeah.
And perform these queries that would be really hard in SQL.
Right.
So think of it as like building a giant interconnected encyclopedia of your domain.
Yeah. And so you can very easily find all the connections between different concepts.
That's it.
Yeah, and so you can see how this would be valuable for data integration, for knowledge discovery.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what about network and IT operations? How does this apply there?
This is another great area. So computer networks, telecom networks, supply chains, logistics networks, all inherently graph structured.
Yeah.
Nodes are devices, locations, entities, and edges are the connections, dependencies, or flows.
Right.
Graph databases are perfect for modeling and monitoring this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So for example, in IT, a graph database can store a CMDB configuration management database.
Okay.
Shows how services, servers, applications depend on each other.
Right.
You want to do impact analysis.
Right.
What happens if a server goes down?
Right.
Just follow the edges. Right.
Visualizing network topology.
Yeah.
Identifying bottlenecks. Finding the shortest path in a network much easier with a graph database.
Yeah.
Telecom companies use them to optimize routing, manage their infrastructure.
Right.
Cloud providers use them to track and manage dependencies.
And so even just visualizing a complex network is easier.
Oh, so much easier.
When you're using a graph database because the relationships are explicit.
Exactly. It's like having a detailed map of a city's infrastructure.
Yeah.
If a road closes, you can see how it impacts traffic.
Yeah.
And find a new route.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So those are some really good examples of where this stuff is really applicable.
Yeah.
Any other notable use cases?
Yeah, there's a few more worth mentioning.
Okay.
Identity and access management.
Okay.
You can model users, roles, permissions, resources as a graph to easily figure out who has access to what.
Geospatial routing and logistics optimization.
Okay.
Locations are nodes, routes are edges.
Got it.
You can do efficient path finding and delivery planning, even things like genealogy or managing hierarchies within an organization.
Right.
It's all about the relationships.
Yeah.
The key takeaway is that graph databases shine when you need to explore and analyze those connections for patterns, recommendations, anomalies, or understanding the impact of changes within a system.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we've talked about where they're good.
Right.
Let's talk about where maybe they're not the best choice.
Okay.
You know, when should we maybe not reach for the graph database?
That's a great point. Graph databases, they're powerful, but they're not a magic solution for every data problem.
Right.
So if you've got simple, high throughput OLTP workloads with minimal relationships, like a system for logging events or a simple order entry system where you're looking up orders by ID, a graph database might be too complex. Yeah. It's overkill.
It's overkill. Relational database or even a key value store would be more efficient.
Right.
Graph database engines are.